clear about something, okay? Okay,
didn't seem very clear. I didn't get what you meant.
I find this job to be incredibly important. And I'm not saying like I'm an important person, I'm doing an important job. No, I mean that people in the media have a very important responsibility to inform people and to be honest actors, okay? But unfortunately, even digital media has now been corrupted with dishonest actors who want to make a name for themselves by saying outlandish things, by causing ridiculous nonsense drama and conflicts. And it's embarrassing, and I don't want any part of it, right? And so, look, when I was going to school for journalism, the professor that had the most impact on me said the following: if you're in it for fame or money, get the fuck out, right? Because journalists are not famous, okay? They don't make a lot of money, and like real journalists, right? And so I remember like the majority of the class was like, well, and I remember she put the
good
figure.
Good point, I'll go to a different humanities
like
major.
Like if we're doing broadcast traditionally, like you or I would have done, we would have been looking at, if we're lucky, a 20 grand salary.
To start.
And but I remember it got lower even.
And I remember she wrote what you can look forward to, like, you know, down the line if you stick to your career as a journalist. And it was like $40,000. And everyone thought journalism is what Ryan Seacrest does, right?
No.
And I remember when I taught my first journalism class, one of the students said that they were aspiring to be the next Ryan Seacrest. And I'm like, that's not journalism. But anyway, I'm bringing this all up because I'm just incredibly frustrated and annoyed with some of the behavior that I'm seeing in the media, period, right? But I'm seeing it happen among us, and it's fucking gross, and I don't want that, right? Like, especially when you consider the fact that some of us have been here for a really long time, and we were never taken seriously, and we worked really, really hard to build credibility. And then you have people who intentionally go out there and misrepresent your viewpoints just so they can drum up some sort of drama and get a little bit of attention. It's unacceptable.
I'm looking at you, Sandra Day O'Connor.
It's just unacceptable. Well, I mean, it makes me really mad.
We're in this time where people get rewarded specifically for attacking other people and for, I mean, be real.
Yeah.
Do you think Hassan would be there if he hadn't targeted Tomi Lahren every day of his life?
No, but okay, so that's actually not a bad example. And look, I love Haas, and I actually think he does a lot of good content outside of these takedown videos. But these takedown videos, they outperform anything else that you post online, right?
So if I'm doing for that, people are hungry for
they
that.
Are.
So
they want
think
the
like
conflict,
they're incentivized.
They want the drama. So there is an incentive to focus your attention on taking someone down as opposed to being an honest actor, right? And takedown videos are fine if they come from a genuine place and someone really gets under your skin and you want to prove them wrong. That's totally okay. I do that, everyone does that, that's fine. But when that becomes your shtick, when that's, you know, a strategy that you utilize just so you can increase your numbers and create like a name for yourself, I feel like that's sad because it's not about informing people. It's about you and your career and how you can move up the ranks, and that's it. That's all that matters. And that's not okay. That's the thing that bothers me. And TYT is growing, it's growing rapidly. And I think that there have been certain situations that have been deeply embarrassing. I'm just keeping it 100.
I mean,
what happened over the weekend? Really fucking embarrassing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I tweeted about that as well. Steve did, John did, and John brought up a good point, which is that this is an important job because you're doing an important service. It's not important because you're important. You're the least important.
That's
you're
right.
The least relevant.
That's right.
It's like Will Smith said. It's the movie's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's about the story.
But it is. I mean, look, I know it sounds cheesy, but it's true. And like,
here's the thing, though. Sorry, go ahead.
Just one quick comment. Like, and for anyone who despises me, if you're a member and you dislike me, that's fine. You can dislike me if you want. But I hope that you at least understand that I've never been in this for money, clearly, or fame, which I actually don't like at all, and I'm really uncomfortable by. If I was in it for the money, I would not be here. And when I see the company grow and move toward a direction that I just don't agree with, it's just disheartening because it feels like I did sacrifice a very, like, many lucrative offers out of principle, right?
Right.
And to see unprincipled, dishonest behavior, it just really, it breaks me. So I don't know. That's my take on all of it.
Or at least the reason I work here. Like, I've been offered to host my own show for a different network. I won't say what it is. I know you've gotten lucrative offers.
Yeah.
And you're here because you feel a sense of pride.
Yes.
You feel you can speak truth. You can not be told what to say, what not to talk about. You get carte blanche. You are able to do this because you're at a place that has some principles. So when you see that tarnished, you wonder, what is
this for?
What
am I doing? What am I doing? And it's scary. It's like a really scary time to work in the media. I'm keeping it 100 with you guys. Like, I don't know what to do at this point.
You know, you can just always report the easiest thing to do, which is challenging in its own right. But the easiest thing to do, for me anyway, is to cover the stories I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. In a way, I'm interested in covering them. Because then I don't have to, because a lot of times you see videos that are the lowest common denominator appealing to what you think the audience wants.
That's right.
And it's this weird, disingenuous paint by numbers for its own goal. And that goal is one of two things, in my opinion. One is fame for fame's sake. That is not the benefit of the doubt given to those. The other, the benefit of the doubt, is fame for the sake of eventually covering the stories I want to cover in the way I want to cover them. I don't have it. I mean, I sometimes have tried to do that thing where you're like, paint by number. Like, this is what I think. This is how I'm going to alter my take based on what I think the audience is. And I hate myself after.
Yeah.
I feel super gooey and gross.
Well, it's like, that's why I don't do a Facebook original every week, because there's not something I feel.
I do, or Amir will get mad at me.
I have to feel passionate about it. I'm not going to do it just because everyone likes it. And I'm like, okay, fine. You know, I did a story about national monuments. I did a story about Title II. I did things that I actually care about. And I don't think I could stand to just do something I don't give a shit about every day.
I think the thing that always drew me to digital media versus traditional media was, you know, how authentic it was in the beginning. Like, everything was very authentic, and authenticity usually led to success. It meant, hey, this is a person who is informing me on something. They're personable. They're someone I can relate to. They're speaking about it passionately. You can tell they care about the issue. That's what I love about digital media. And now, since it's become such a big part of the media landscape in general, it's now attracting all sorts of people that maybe don't have, you know, honest intentions and are in it for the wrong reasons. And unfortunately, like, look, I think journalistic ethics matter. I think they matter a great deal. And I feel like, you know, traditional media, of course, has its downsides, but there are certain lessons that you learn in traditional media that are important, like journalistic ethics, certain journalistic standards, doing things to ensure that you maintain your credibility. And the reality is, we all fail time to time. We all make mistakes time to time. I'm not going to pretend like I'm perfect. I've made gigantic mistakes throughout my career, and I've learned from them, and I hope that people have seen how much I've grown as a result of that, and how much I hope I will continue to grow as a result of that. But to just do all these like weird schemes to make a name for yourself is, it's gross, and I just don't want that to be part of the company.
I think it's because sometimes talk and news can bleed into entertainment.
Yeah.
And entertainment is like that, where awful people who could do awful tactics get rewarded hand over fist.
It's also it's a lazy thing to do. It's so lazy to just, instead of come up with like a really good take on something or an honest strategy, it's just so lazy to just appeal to the lowest common denominator, phone in what you think folks want to hear.
But the thing is, it works.
It can't. It also doesn't work a lot.
That's why people do it.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. But I don't know. The easiest thing to do is just cover what I want to cover in a way I want to cover it. And I definitely fail a lot. Bill Maher did drop the N-bomb, but his explanation of the feeling he has after a show, I identify with, which is like after the show, I can't stop rehashing in my head, especially a live show like this one, all the dumb crap I said that time. And I think on this show, I've heard from multiple people when, you know, someone misspeaks and steps in it, getting like, it was a live show, whatever. They misspoke, they mischaracterized, they got caught up in the moment. I'm not gonna hold them responsible for that. But really, instead focusing on the actual problem with what they said, what gives rise to the instinct to say that. And I think if we all just kind of keep our nose, I mean, maybe it doesn't work, but if I hope we can keep our nose to the grindstone, and it'll end up.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that if you have certain people within any given media organization who do their job irresponsibly, they unfortunately end up dragging the entire company through the mud, and they become representative of the company as a whole. I think that's unfair, right? But I think that's the reality. And that's what worries me the most, because it doesn't matter how hard some of us work to maintain credibility. It doesn't matter what our intentions are or how well we want to do our jobs. All it takes is a few people who aren't responsible with their commentary, their analysis, with their coverage, whatever, to bring down the credibility of an entire media organization.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that's been worrying me and has been on my mind, you know, for a while, and certainly after this weekend.
Well, I mean, we're all responsible for ourselves, right? But we do have to feel a level of, you know, these are my colleagues. These are the people who are in league with me. And it's embarrassing when stuff like that happens, because it's just like, does this person represent me? People will think they do.
We're the Avengers, guys. We're all the Avengers, and it seems like the Infinity War arc vis-a-vis Captain America Civil War is happening right now.
I'm Scarlet Witch. I have the costume, but
I'm Quicksilver, because I am
gonna
die in multiple franchises and belong to multiple studios with and I play different parts.
Great.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm on y'all's side. I hate whoever we're talking about. I'm not quite sure, because there's multiple possibilities,
Brett,
is what
there
gets
are.
Me.
And I don't look.
You can read it a couple ways.
Yeah, and to be honest with you guys, I'm super loyal and protective of people that I care about, and this company has a lot of people that I care about deeply, and I don't want to smear people and drag them through the mud, which is why I'm not getting too specific, and I hope you guys don't get upset about that. But I want to keep us honest, you know, and that's it. That's all I really care about. And if even this company gets corrupted by dishonest actors, then I want to be a professional dog walker. Why not? Like, why the fuck not?
Because you have a mortgage now.
I'm gonna make the same money. Anyway.
There's some people that I really don't like at this company. Edwin.
Whoa. Oh.
Fight.
He just wanted a thumbs up.
He just gave me a thumbs up.
He's a positive guy.
Edwin's awesome.
I can't even pretend to be mad at you.
You're a dick.
Ah, there it is.
Brett, anyway. You're an a-hole, dude.
Thank you.
I can't stand you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyway.
I love you, Brett.
All right, should we switch gears real quick and talk about your party stuff?
Yeah.
I have little to say, because this is going to shock you. I was not very popular in high school.
You weren't popular?
No, of course not.
I don't know. I was socially awkward.
You were a class clown for sure.
Yeah.
I was the homecoming king.
So you were popular.
The president of the student body.
Oh, fuck you. You were popular. Fuck off.
But I still I had specific social skills that allowed me to be friendly with a lot of people.
You were Ferris Bueller.
But yes, but that's not really, because
cool with all the groups.
No, because I didn't want to miss like a day of school. That just add to that. I was friendly with a lot of people, but if I ever made a mistake, if I even made part of a mistake, I would get caught for it. So I was at my friend's party that I wasn't supposed to. The one time I drove someplace I wasn't supposed to, my mom found out about it. And the reason I know she found out about it is his brother, Chad, was bumping.
I really think we know the same person.
It's the same person, same bumping the music. And I was like, guys, are we having a great time? He had a water slide in his backyard. It was awesome. Music stops.
Uh-oh.
Brett Ehrlich, your mother's on the phone.
Oh, no.
She wants to talk to you. And I had, she came and picked me up. Another time at a different post-dance party. When in high school, there was a party. There was after prom or something. And I, there was an altercation at the party I wasn't involved in. I was allowed to be at this one. But people were drinking, and I don't think I told my mother people were drinking. I was not drinking because I didn't drink in high school, but Mary was drunk, and these guys wanted her to go with them. And I just kept yelling, Mary, Mary, they're drunk, Mary. Don't go with them. You're drunk, they're drunk, Mary. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. I get, my phone starts ringing. My cell phone starts ringing. It's my mom. Mm-hmm. Where are you and what is going on?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my God, I pocket dialed my mom.
Oh, no.
Which is super impossible. And you know what? That isn't what happened.
What happened?
What did happen was in my phone, it literally, and it was like, it wasn't even a touch screen. It was like a little dial on the side. You had to push it in for a while to unlock it, scroll down a few, and then hit it again to call my grandmother in my pocket.
So she called your mom and said, what's going on?
Call your grandmother now and tell her you're okay, Brett. Because you frightened her. That, it was called pulling an Ehrlich. When you get caught for no reason. In third grade, I threw a ball once and it hit Nathan on the head. I got detention the one time I went to the office. My mom was coincidentally there to drop something off.
Yeah.
In the office, I'm like, and I literally said, oh shit. And then Mrs. Warburton said, Brett, why are you using foul language in our office?
That's funny.
So bad. Last one. Okay. Just to jam the point home.
You're very animated.
There were two Jameses in my high school.
Okay.
One I was friendly with.
Two the other, total? There were no other Jameses?
There were two specific, there are multiple Jameses.
Okay, but these are the ones that stood out the most.
One I was friendly with, knew for a bunch of years, and the other one was like my nemesis and plotted actively to get me kicked out of school multiple times.
Good James, bad James, bad got James. It.
And I said to my friend Jimmy, also James, but in this case Jimmy, as a joke for no reason, can you believe James' mom caught him masturbating?
That sounds like something you would say.
Just as a joke.
Yeah.
And I hear, excuse me?
Was the good James masturbating or the bad
the
James?
The joke was that the good James was masturbating because he knew that would, he would know that would be a joke. And right. No one would, it was just a joke.
Right.
Excuse me, I hear. I turn. In the middle of a school day at break, it's bad James's mom. Right there, over my shoulder.
What was she doing there?
I don't know.
Wow. You really do get caught all the time.
It
That's
turned
amazing.
Out okay.
I had to go in the office to Miss McGorian, the dean. And in order to get out of trouble, I, in a separate room from Jimmy, had to corroborate that we were both talking about good James's mom catching him masturbating.
And not bad James's
and
mom.
Not bad James's mom.
Bad James's mom seems like she over...
I don't know, maybe they had a lot of trouble in the home. I literally don't know. But it, just like any time I did a fraction of a thing, trouble.
So you were mostly good.
Mostly good,
yeah,
terrified.
Yeah, you sound like you were a great kid.
I didn't drink or do drugs in high school.
Yeah, neither did I. But I would get in trouble because of my dumb behavior as opposed to you, where it seems like everything was a coincidence. The first time that I got into a lot of trouble was in sixth grade, where I had a huge crush on a guy named Zach. Okay, he was a grade older than me. Zach Dawes, I believe his name was.
Google him.
This is back in the day when I found white guys attractive.
We're still pretty hot.
You are. But anyway.
Married.
So I wanted to leave a love note in his locker and tell him that I had a crush on him. So I'm a dork. I write this note in my room and I want to make sure it sounds good, so I proofread it out loud.
And oh no.
My mom overhears me reading my love note to Zach, and my mom was, you know, she was super strict. Like no boyfriends,
so
no going to friends' houses, no sleeping over anywhere, no camp, none of that stuff. You go to school, you come home, you go to ballet class, that's it. You go to Sunday school, that's it, right? So she was very strict. So she hears me reading this love note out loud, and it was so, in it, I even said something like, I'm the girl with the jungle green eyes. Like it was just so cheesy. Oh, it was so cheesy.
That's a crayon. picture.
I know.
That's a crayon color.
And then you picture Anna on her bed being like, nope, forest green. Looking at a
jungle crayon. Green. And so she overhears me and then comes into my room. And as she comes into my room, of course, I try to hide the note. So I put it under the bed. I was sitting on the floor. And she was like, what is that? Let me see it. And she read it and she was pissed. So that was like the first time I got into really, really big trouble.
Question. Huh? Is that why you don't like white guys anymore?
Oh my God. Maybe.
Wow.
What? We just psychoanalyzed me. That's
your mom
amazing.
Ruined it for everybody.
My mom did.
I immediately regret this decision.
Yeah, and then the second time I got into really, really big trouble was when I did have a boyfriend. It was a secret from my parents. He did get in trouble because he got in trouble with the law and was sent to juvie. And I was writing him letters, right? And I'm a moron, so I made sure to include a return address for these letters. And his PO or probational officer or whatever decided, I'm just gonna send these back. He sent back all the letters. My mom opened them all
no.
and read them. That was the second time I got in trouble.
Oh, that's the worst.
So I was really dumb, and that's why I would get into trouble. But you, it's just like a series of coincidences.
Yours are my nightmare.
Yeah, it was really
what
bad.
What did you do?
I got in trouble once because someone else was copying my paper.
That is such a Kim Orchard thing to get in trouble for.
Team, you weren't doing anything.
And they were like, you were helping him. And I was like, what are you? No. Aww. And then I started crying because I was upset. And then that was an admission of guilt, I guess.
Oh, wow.
I got in trouble with teachers a lot because there's this one teacher. He's dead now for reasons.
The reason is named Kim Orchard. Don't
that was
piss
a weird
her
sentence.
Off.
He was just like a jerk, and he was such a jerk. Like the other teachers signed a petition to get rid of him.
Nice.
And it worked. And he was just there for 1 year, and I had him that 1 year. And he did not like me.
Why?
I don't know. Like,
was he wearing Nazi jewelry?
No, he was this guy from Quebec. Quebecois.
What?
I don't know. He didn't like me and he didn't like my friend. And we worked on a group project together and he gave us like a B minus or something. And we were like asking him about it and he wouldn't talk like in specifics.
Oh, I had a teacher like
and
that.
And then we're like, wait. And then he mentioned something that we definitely didn't do because he said something about like a video, but we did like a visual test. Or visual display, and then like we went to the dean, and then like he confronted us in class, and he was like, "You don't go over my head. If you have a problem, you come to me. How dare you jeopardize my life like this?" And it's just like we did go to you, and
oh
then
my
like
gosh.
He was gross. He would like you could eat in class, but only if he could have some, and he'd always like lick his fingers first.
He liked you. That's the thing. He like liked you. That's
no,
what
well,
I think
the weird is the next year he married a 19-year-old former student of his.
Yeah, he liked you.
That sucks.
And like he would like peer down girls' shirts, like
oh my
they'd
gosh.
Be sitting and he'd be standing. It was really gross. Anyway, he's dead.
Man,
I liked everything about that, including like how creepy, dark, and frank. Anyway, he's dead. Sounded
anyway, like. He died.
Thought of another time I got in trouble. I was
is
at
this a following your pattern.
Same pattern.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was at two other times I got in trouble. I was at a conference called the Junior Statesmen of America Conference, mm-hmm. sanctioned event by Chaminade College Preparatory. I don't know if Ja'Cory knows, but I went there. Inside joke. And I left that, I drove from that conference, sanctioned by the school, back to school for the talent show, mm-hmm. which I participated in. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't supposed to do that, even though I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to do that, so I got in trouble for that. And another time, I didn't sell dance tickets right, and I got in trouble.
Whoa.
Man, I feel bad for you. You just couldn't get away with anything.
They brought me into the office to say if it was other students besides you and your friend Anthony, who was
oh
me and
no.
Anthony, my friend.
Did they say
you'd
they
be looking for other schools right now. Because we didn't sell dance tickets. Instead, we watched the tournament, the
That's
basketball
crazy.
Tournament.
Crazy. The worst thing I did when I was in school was when I was in first grade, and the teacher every Friday, depending on how many points you've accumulated for good work assignments or good behavior, every Friday she would give us like candy. She had like a candy stash, right? Nice. So it was like a way of rewarding us for being good all week. And she would also leave the windows to the classroom open. So during lunch, I would sneak in and steal candy. I never got caught. And I've never talked about it publicly.
Wait,
oh my God.
You never got caught?
She feels so comfy around us.
I got caught once.
I was such a goji. That means like little piggy in Armenian. Like I was. I would do anything for sweets. Anything.
Aww.
Yeah.
You do have jungle green eyes.
No.
See, I was just being accurate in my description.
Forest green.
So, yeah.
Anyway, all right.
I think that's it.
Is that all we were wanting to talk about today?
I think so.
I think we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
I'm going to regret the first portion of this.
You're going to regret it? I mean, you barely said anything. I'm sure I'm the one who's going to deal with the backlash, but it is what it is. At least I'm honest with the audience.
Yeah. Good job, everyone.
Anyway, love you guys.
Hey, thanks for just listening. I know you could have chimed in at any point, but that's really nice. Sometimes we just need someone to listen.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're really good at that.
Anyway, thank you for being members, guys. Thank you for watching. We'll see you tomorrow.